Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
DJ, run that. Rolling.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365, ladies and gentlemen. Chelsea are at home this weekend after being hammered at Bournemouth. Leicester face Manchester United after picking up a point at Anfield. And Newcastle beat Man City!
Didn't think I'd get there, did you?
The energy. Do you know what? I love the idea. There's a lot of football podcasts out there and people have got choice. And I love the idea of someone coming to this show for the first time and hearing that energy.
Yeah. I mean, an energy that very much was escalated in the last 3 seconds that he had
to
speak.
I didn't understand any of it, but the energy was amazing.
Yeah. He's doing stretches to warm down now.
Yeah. That's me knowing that a show has to start at 7 o'clock exactly on Absolute Radio and me having to fill for 30 seconds and then realise I've run completely out of time. And Claire Sturgeon is up next with a request shop.
Yeah. So I've heard you do that. I've literally heard you do that.
Peter, when Newcastle United beat the champions of England
the other night,
I tell you what, it is big news for us. It's big news for everybody, but my goodness, it provides us with an extra swing in our swagger.
Is it the night that Mike Ashley fell back in love with Newcastle United?
Yeah.
Is it
the night that the fans fell back in love with Mike Ashley?
Hope so.
No.
What I like about a result like that is that if Ashley was around the supporters, you know, everyone's going mad. It was an incredible win and so on. And Ashley turns to them and goes to put, we still hate you.
Yeah.
This is despite you.
Yeah, exactly.
He massively bottled it as well because there was going to be a big protest, which kind of came to nothing because, you know, Newcastle United supporters refused to not attend matches. And I think there was one solitary tennis ball thrown onto the pitch. There are a couple of supporters who sort of planned protests.
I mean, that just sounds, and also that's when it goes from protest to just a person walking their dog.
Yeah.
Also, one tennis ball.
I don't know.
Get on the pitch, dog.
Yeah. I don't know the sort of physical makeup of the city, but is there a high likelihood that was purchased at Sports Direct?
Well, that's the thing. You mugged yourself off there a little bit. But
How good would it have been, Pete, if after that result, Sky Sports News, so Newcastle win 2-1, full-time whistle goes, and Sky Sports News get a little bit of information there, and we've got a statement from, I think we've got a statement coming out of Newcastle United, it's a statement from Mike Ashley, and it's just a statement Mike Ashley just puts out there, we've got the players. And that's it.
Yeah, I told you we didn't need it.
Hashtag no further business.
Yeah. Imagine the leap off though of like, imagine if Mike Ashley announced that he'd sold the club that night at like 10 p.m.
Yeah.
People would not work for the next 3 weeks.
I was going to say.
You had the two players coming in, Almiron and one other. You had the win against the champions and Mike Ashley going to save the high street somewhere else. What a week.
Buying
to truly turn it around. Yeah. Perhaps like chucking loads of Sports Direct mugs onto the pitch would be an appropriate
protest. That would be a very offensive missile. But a few fans actually got their season tickets rescinded for planning these protests. I'm not sure what was actually planned. But NFC have a terrible reputation with their fan liaison for obvious reasons because Mike Ashley's a bit of a tid.
Yeah. What did you make of the win though, Pete? So presumably, aside from all this, they're 1-0 down after about 25 seconds. Mm. The Newcastle, I don't think, have come back from being 1-0 down at half time to win a Premier League game for a very long time. I think it might be 2006 or something like that. Surely you have to, as a Newcastle fan, put all that to one side and say, you know what, I enjoyed that game, I enjoyed the moment.
The Rafa Benitez tenure has been a massive 3-year-long missed opportunity in many ways, and he will be leaving at the end of the season. I'm moderately confident of that situation because Mike Ashley refuses to invest any money into the playing staff. So moments like those, I think he can cherish, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think people remember the 4-4 draw against Arsenal in the Alan Pardew years. I hate Alan Pardew, but I really enjoyed that moment. Yeah. And I think every kind of tenure of manager, there's always something to hang your hat on.
That's fans of like 90% of clubs, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
That's the moment I certainly feel like that as a Portsmouth fan. It's not as though, you know, it's not unparalleled success all the time.
I'm so glad that happened. And like when we sat and watched Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, Luke, like Chelsea were there to be got at. Manchester City were making mistakes. They didn't. And Newcastle United, for all their faults, they can move the ball around. in midfield quite well. It's just, you know, they're just not as penetrating as a lot of other teams, so they're not going to score as many goals. And Rondon is very tired. He always looks very tired.
In the first half in particular, he was basically kind of... He was your sole presence in City's half, really. And that was clearly a very tactical thing from Benitez to sort of shore it up for a bit, having conceded so early. But I found that the first half in particular was a real drudge, wasn't it? And I was so like, yeah, go on, Newcastle. It was good to see them turn it around because City just weren't quite there.
City's performance was a strange one.
It's funny, like, you get this fatigue with Guardiola sides, and it's starting to happen with City now. Like, however attractive it is, you get a bit bored of it. And it happened at Bayern, and to an extent it happened at Barcelona. And I think maybe it's happening now as well, so... Go on the Geordies.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Pete. It's a missed opportunity. Because Newcastle United have Rafa Benitez. It's mad,
there's a reason why they've won against Manchester City. There's a reason why they're not completely bottom of the table, because he can organise a defence and organise a midfield.
Do we have any information
about... Paul Dummett, is it?
No. Whose pocket is the money for Almiron coming out of? Is Rafa buying himself, as Richard Keys suggested?
Obviously welcome an overdue news that transfer record is going to be broken. There's a Twitter account that looks at the price of football. I think it's literally called The Price of Football. And they look at the financial side of football.
Oh, right.
Newcastle United have indeed borrowed cash from Barclays against... betting against the broadcast income from this and next season. So, Mike Ashley, again, is not putting any money at the club. He's either servicing his own loans or he's spending money that the club doesn't have for footballers. So,
save you the British high street, though, Marcus.
I'd like Alan Shearer to beat him up.
I'd like to kick him in the head.
Because Shearer has to really contain it on national television when he's talking about Ashley.
Precious for tyres,
But you can see him redden. Fuming.
You see him reddening.
Yeah, and I just reckon, you know, like, volley him out the club.
Oh, he shouldn't have taken them down then, should he?
Yeah, it was Shearer's sole fault that season, wasn't it? But it's true, if Newcastle had they had some proper backing, they would be up. It's hard to say, but certainly with where Bournemouth, Wolves,
it's not going to
maybe
take,
not Wolves, but
it won't take petrodollars to make them a force. I truly believe that.
And when Mike Ashley gave that interview a while ago,
mid table certainly with the Everton's, you know, you'd be up there.
Exactly, and that's got to be the aim, right? The size of the club they are, the size of the fan base they have, the tradition they've got,
stadium,
the coach they've got at the moment. Mike Ashley gave an interview to Sky Sports News where he said, oh, you know, I just can't afford it. He said, no one's asking, as far as I know, no one's asking for a Champions League trophy.
Yeah.
They're asking for it to be supported commensurate to the size of the club it is.
Yeah, and also pay the going rate for advertising hoardings. You know, when you talk about plastering Sports Direct over right around St. James's Park and flannels on it, crap, he's not paying for those adverts. You know, that's part of the creaming off the top.
Yeah,
he uses it as a marketing exercise. So I think I said it on the WhatsApp group when Manchester City scored within 28 seconds or something. To be honest, best case scenario, Rafa walks next. Not best case scenario, but Mike Ashley doesn't deserve to have a Premier League advertising hoarding. He doesn't deserve to have that kind of exposure. Championship club, that's what Mike Ashley deserves, and if he can't get rid of if he refuses to sell a club, he doesn't want to be there. I don't think I have no qualms with him going down in the Championship, and I truly believe that. I can't stand the fact that man is creaming off the top of Newcastle United because they're a Premier League concern, and the only reason why he's spending any money, the only reason why he's borrowing any money on behalf of the club from Barclays, is because he knows he's going to lose Premier League status. At the end of this season, if he doesn't.
He's ungrateful.
Although Rio Ferdinand says you should be grateful.
Yeah.
Of course. So, you know, it's open to interpretation, I don't think.
What my favourite thing about the match, I have to say, if we can go back to that, is that part of the reason that Rondon got the connection for the equaliser was that old gigantic Christian Atchu was in the mixer. sort of causing chaos with his height.
At Stamford Bridge, they were hitting Atchu all the time. Yeah. It's baffling. Absolutely baffling.
I think it's because Dubravka's balls kind of like fade left a little bit. And Atchu was up for the fight. But he's shorter than me. He's very, very quick. He's got no end product or even like final ball, but he's very quick.
Well, they got a big task on their hands against Tottenham.
Tottenham had an impressive comeback against Watford, of course, at Wembley 2-1. Son scored the equaliser. My goodness, that was a welcome sight for Spurs fans.
Tiresome.
Yeah, blasting the ball home.
A big night for Llorente as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
He played
that,
well in
that
his,
miss though from the knee.
Off his knee, yeah.
He's got, the thing is, he's
he had some
confidence.
Nice touches though. I think that getting the goal, as you say,
really important. For him. He's got 6 goals in 6 starts for Spurs this season. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's not as terrible. I mean, I know he's not performed brilliantly on occasion, and he's found it difficult, and he is in a difficult situation, and clearly his best years are behind him. But 6 goals in 6 starts does tell its own story as well. The thing that came out of this week's news that I really wanted to bring attention to you guys, if you haven't seen it. It's Daniel Story, who is a writer for Football 365 and he contributes to some other bits and pieces. He tweeted something today which I find absolutely staggering and brings into pretty stark focus the job that Pochettino's done at Spurs. Gives you a little bit of meat on the bones as to why, because it can seem a bit sort of ephemeral. Oh, he's never won anything, blah, blah, blah. Why,
yeah, I mean, no trophy, mate. Not interesting.
Exactly.
You've got to say.
Well, listen to this. According to UEFA report, Tottenham's wage bill was 148 million euros. Mm-hmm. If you could double the wages, right, it basically says it. So you could double the wages of every single Spurs player, right, sign 7 new players on £100,000 a week, and they would still have a lower wage bill than Man City.
Wow. Yeah, but they haven't won any trophies.
It's true. That's what they got to do.
Get what you pay for, don't you?
Let me just say that again, because I think that's staggering.
That is unbelievable.
Double the wages of every single Spurs player and sign 7 new players on £100,000 a week and still have a lower wage than Man City.
So are you saying that Pochettino is an incredible prospect for perhaps some other club?
Maybe. Yeah.
What we're saying,
I think that's what you want to say.
What we're saying, Jim, is that in case anyone's forgotten, Raheem Sterling's incredibly greedy and ungrateful.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. God, he hasn't had enough of a kick in on this show lately.
How much? Yeah.
We love Raheem, that's why. We're not the tabloids.
How much do you reckon that ball boy's on? The Spurs, Spurs, giving that, giving a little wink. I used to wink a lot when I was his age.
Now, can I just point out? You used to wink a lot, anyway. Can I just point out? Spurs are 2 points behind Manchester City.
Incredible, isn't
two
it?
Points when you talk about all that money. Yeah, and 7 points off the top, Jim.
What a turnaround.
Winky, winky.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it possible?
I think it's possible. It's possible.
Go on, Jimmy. What are you saying?
I think it's possible, mate.
When was the last time they were top of the Premier League?
Who, Spurs? I'm not sure. No idea.
Have they ever been top of the Premier League?
Well, I don't think it would be. It would be a long, long time ago if they have been, wouldn't it? So, no, I don't think.
What's your point?
Don't think they're going to win the league.
Pochettino was
I was going to say,
yeah, well, Pochettino was a little bit coy, wasn't he, when they said, well, what about the title? And he was like, well, you know, you never know. But,
well, I'll tell you why I think they are a contender. I don't think they're a strong contender, and I don't think they'll win it.
No.
But I'll tell you why they are a contender, because Manchester City, based on what we saw this week, have got flaws and I've lost 4 games already this season. Spurs have lost 6, Man City have lost 4, and we've seen, I think, in 2 of the last 4 Premier League games, and possibly 3 of the last 4 Premier League games in Liverpool's case, because if you count the Crystal Palace win, they didn't have that all their own way, did they? There are frailties there. I mean, Liverpool have got problems with personnel in terms of players missing, all that kind of stuff, and I think Spurs are a team that will play at the very limit of what's possible with the players that they've got and the coach they've got, and so I think they will come short. But I don't think after 24 games, when we're about to come into February and they're 7 points off the top, you can't say they're not contenders. I just don't want to live in a world of football fandom when they're not.
Yeah, but it is good Son coming back for them. Obviously,
massive.
Kane and Ellie still injured. I mean, Son coming back, you know, Qatar in the final of the Asia Cup. We thought South
Korea. The little atom.
The little atom, nothing dodgy about that, of course.
Yeah. Newcastle 7-1 to spring an upset and win at Wembley this weekend against Spurs. £10 with Bet365 will return £80, including stake.
We're going, me and Luke. Are we in the Spurs fans? Or in?
Don't know, mate. Oh. Don't know.
All right. Okay.
Is there a neutral zone at Wembley? I'll just climb up, like, you know, they cut off half of the stand.
Don't,
I'll just run up there.
Don't run up there.
Nah.
All right, Club Wembley. Calm it down.
No, you're very unwelcome up there. Manchester City are playing Arsenal, of course. Now, it is a tough game for Arsenal.
Certainly is.
Manchester City 5 points off the top. Can they catch Liverpool? Now, it was interesting what happened at Anfield because, obviously, they got the early goal. You think, settle yourselves down and so on. Really, there were moments, I understand the game could have gone both ways, but Leicester could have won that game. Now, focus on Liverpool. I suspect now that every home game, unless they really sort this out, I think every home game for Liverpool
will be
a nervy affair. Yeah. And
how weird did it feel watching it?
We were saying this about when they were at home to Palace. We said, could this become a bit nervy? Well, I'm sorry, if you're Manchester City, I know that they've had a piss-poor result against Newcastle, but Man City are good for it. You know they are.
Yeah.
And if I was Guardiola, I'd say, right, lads, they're nervous now. Let's keep at it.
And we said this for weeks on the show leading up to this situation we find ourselves in with Liverpool. if there is one team and one city that is so emotionally invested in what they want to achieve here, it's Liverpool. And it can be a real help to them. It can really push them over the line when they need it, when the legs are tired and all the rest of it. But it can be suffocating. Yes. And I think just watching it on TV last night, the atmosphere felt very strange. And actually, Steve McManaman, who knows a bit about Liverpool in football, said, you know, it feels strange here. And the atmosphere is tense and it's and it's not helping the players. So
they need to run the area, 1-0s.
Yeah, quite.
And, you know, I mean, earlier on in the season, you know, the defence was tight and so on and so forth. Our defence is still tight. But I suspect, I haven't done any research on this, but I reckon it would be easier to chase a side, if you see what I mean. There's sort of less pressure on you.
I think it depends on the circumstances.
Well, I suppose so, yeah, I suppose. Mm. But I think Manchester City, they know what they've got to do and they've just got to keep gobbling up the points.
There are a lot of games left for Liverpool where you can't, because people were saying last night, if they win last night after what happened in Man City, they've won the league. Well, look, they've still got to play Man United away. Mm-hmm. They've got to play Everton away. They've got to play Spurs at home. They've got to play Chelsea at home. There are some games there where you think, you know, it's not done and dusted.
I think it's fortunate for Liverpool they're away to West Ham. I think it's important they're away from home against a side who are looking pretty piss poor at the moment as well. Mm. But Man City at home to Arsenal. Arsenal beat Cardiff 2-1. Not too convincing, but they're up to fourth.
This is, I think that's by virtue of a lot of odd results elsewhere, really. As you say, it wasn't the most convincing performance.
Didn't they go fourth without even playing last time?
They beat Cardiff the other night.
But they weren't fourth until what happened to Chelsea happened last night.
Goal difference, I think you're right. Yeah.
Which is a strange thing, isn't it? A very rare thing. This is a bad time to be playing Man City because obviously, as you say, they have to just sort of grind back into gear and get the result. And it's at Man City, so that's going to be a tough ask for Arsenal. But they have to click and go, look, we're in fourth. We probably didn't expect to be here maybe a couple of weeks ago. I thought maybe this is starting to get a little bit harder, but they have to put a run of good results and, more importantly, good performances together because it's been a bit disjointed and a little bit slack. Now, they signed Denis Suarez today. I don't know what sort of impact he's going to have. He's not necessarily the most important type of player that they need, but certainly they have needed a bit more freshening up in there. So, yeah,
do you find it odd that they've gone for Suarez when they're letting Ramsey go?
Not really, because I think it's probably a short-term fix. And Emery has said that he's been told from above that there's basically no money for transfers in this window because it's spent heavily on Aubameyang and Lacazette in the last few years. But in the summer there will be. And given that Stan Kroenke owns the club outright, I don't know why he'd say that if it wasn't true, because there's nowhere for him to hide. So I feel like it might just be the sort of financial circumstances of Arsenal being very true at the moment.
Emil Smith-Rowe's gone on loan to Leipzig as well.
He has, he's a very, very promising player, but by the looks of it, he wasn't going to get much of a run in the first team, so I think that's fair enough.
The draw in this game, Man City v Arsenal, which should be a good one actually, is 5-1. So £10 returns £60 with Bet365. Should we see a stalemate?
Now it's time for emails with Petta. Say I'm the only
bee in your bunny. Not the bees! Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bee!
We've got an email from, someone called himself Bakery Lasagna, which is lovely. Hello, Ramblers. I thought I'd penny you a quick email.
Here we go.
After the mention of Tony Macaroni as a shirt sponsor. In case you weren't aware, I wanted to let you know about Livingston's Almondvale Stadium. Currently goes under the name of the Tony Macaroni Arena, apparently.
Oh.
But the real joy is its current nickname of the Spaghetti Had.
Nice.
You having that? Livingston definitely aren't past their best. Thank you very much.
The Scottish sense of humour is a magnificent thing, in my opinion.
Oh, it's great. Hello to, Cathal McIver. Did we talk about this last week, the horse punching?
I don't think so.
There was some horse punching.
I think we did talk about horse punching, did we?
Did we talk about either way?
Well, you can never have too much.
No. The horses have been named. Anyway, just a quick update on how football is progressing here in Scotland. And in case you haven't already heard, a fan at the recent Scottish Cup tie between Celtic and Airdrie, once described as Marcus as Scotland's Millwall. Basically, a fan allegedly punched three different police horses.
It's a hat trick.
It's a copycat.
Is that imperfect hat trick?
Right fist, left foot,
headbutt.
To horses Orban, Glasgow, and Nurston. He's also accused of two other police assaults and behaving in a threatening and abusive manner.
He sounds like a hateful man.
All reasonable behaviour, as I'm sure you'll agree, for a 35-year-old man. I've been unable to find out which club the fan in question actually supports, but I thought it might take some of the spotlight off the famous horse punchers of Newcastle United.
That's
so
incredible.
Thank you very much.
I heard recently that horses have huge
eyes.
So they see humans as being bigger than they are. So that would be extra terrifying.
Humans are bigger than they appear.
Humans appear bigger than that.
Yeah.
Marcus gets it.
I wondered why you were repeating it.
Like a reverse mirror.
It's like a reverse mirror.
Yeah.
Right.
Objects in your rear might be further away than you think.
No, it's human beings to a horse may be closer than they appear.
Yeah.
I don't like. Is it sheep's eyes that just have like a landscape?
They're sideways.
Kind of
they're sideways. Goats as well. It looks odd.
Disgusting.
It does look odd. I remember going to the Lambeth Country Show.
Lambeth.
Summer before.
You're always off to a country show.
Yeah.
Get yourself a wax jacket.
All right.
You're just very, very rural.
He's worried that you don't look the part if you go. Yeah.
But I felt like when I went to the Lambeth Country Show and this section where they have all the farm animals, I just felt like the sheep and the goats just lowered the whole tone.
Yeah.
Because they,
they
look so
the
weird.
Tone.
Their eyes just look so strange close up. Yeah. You don't want. I don't want a child getting close to seeing a sheep's eye.
Yeah. Sheeps, you are disgusting.
It's like looking at the eye of a devil. I can see why the goats are the sort of devil's kind of manifestation, you know?
Goats are great.
It's the cloven hoof. And they speak like humans anyway.
And
sorry,
they climb
Marcus,
up
I'm digressing.
And that's true. And they can get up mountains and all that.
Exactly.
And down.
That's true. Yeah.
Funny for now, Vincent has got in touch just forwarding a tweet from Berwick Rangers. From the official website, for the official Twitter account. Yes, we have just lost 7-1 for the second time in 4 days. No, we don't need everyone to tweet us about it. I'm having that.
Well, you should have thought of that. Also, before we move on from the correspondence section, I don't know or indeed care whether you want me to bring this up. I'm going to do it anyway. On Reddit, people are speculating that Pete and Jim hate each other.
Yeah.
I thought it was being. Oh, yeah, it is me and Jim, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you want to put those rumours to bed?
Well, it's always Pete and somebody else. It's me.
Yeah, why is it always me?
Yeah, it might shock listeners to know that we actually like each other.
But what I like about
it
is
bluff.
Well, hang on. That's Jim's angle.
Let's see what
Pete
thinks.
Do you like Jim?
Somebody explained that it's because we're the two quieter of the windbags over there. Yeah. So we're the kind of neutral Switzerland, and you two are just.
But how does that mean you hate each other? Yeah. Switzerland are known for not hating anyone.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't. We're cool.
Yeah, apparently we don't interact.
Yeah.
I mean, we are. We're quite far away. There are chairs quite far away.
We are next
where the
to each other,
were.
Aren't we? So
kiss we
each
sit.
Other.
We sit next to each other.
Yeah, I agree, Marcus. Kiss each other.
All right, come here. Oh, I'm on your mic now.
Right?
This is what you want in Mars.
I love it. Let's have a quick ad break.
I'm busy kissing.
Hurry.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's have some fun.
Oh, let's have some fun.
Mickey.
To hear Mickey.
I'll tell you something about Owen. He gets gigs.
He does.
He gets gigs.
He does.
Loves a pound knot.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
He is a global money hoover.
Yeah, he is.
Oi, I'm busy kissing.
I'm busy kissing. Do you want to hear? I just realised we don't have two ad breaks in this show, so do you want the second Owen clip?
Yeah.
When I switched, there was cameras everywhere. Flash, flash, flash. Mate, it was amazing.
Joe Cole and...
That's good. I thought that was Coley.
Advertising Huawei.
Yeah. Huawei.
Yeah.
All right.
Other mobile phone providers
are available.
I guess the thing is, the thing about that advert, and if people haven't seen it, it's a Michael Owen and Joe Cole talking about something that you are
Canadian extradition progress.
You are supposed to believe they're talking about when they transfer from one club
it's
to another.
Classic pull back and reveal.
Yeah. But actually, Jim, I think it's quite a good idea. Yeah. It's quite
executed badly?
Yeah, really badly. Yeah, really badly. By producers and directors who are simply too scared to ask those athletes to do the fucking take again.
Yeah.
Which happens all the time.
That is it. That is it.
There's a devil coming.
Yeah. I remember it was really good, and I'm not talking about a phone. Is that it? Can I go?
Yeah. The boss has said a new devil is arriving.
I'm busy kissing. Right. Chelsea were hammered by Bournemouth 4-0, their biggest defeat in the Prem for 23 years.
Jeez, really?
Yeah, fortunately for them, they've got Huddersfield at home next.
It's what you'd want, isn't it?
It really is. Maurizio Sarri reportedly kept his side back in the change rooms for a fair while afterwards. The fans booed when he took off Higuain and chanted, "You don't know what you're doing." And Sarri said after the match that perhaps he can't motivate the players.
Don't let James Horncastle hear that be said.
I tell you what, have we seen such honesty since Kevin Keegan?
No, probably not. And I find
don't
this,
think they can cut it in this country.
I find this interesting because, I mean, in the first half against Bournemouth, from what I saw, they looked okay.
Yeah,
and
he
the
said
second
that,
half,
yeah.
they just completely collapsed.
That's what Sarri said, wasn't it? It's impossible that you lose the second half 4-0 almost.
But I think a good example of, so we have this situation with Sarri, I think, where we've talked about this a lot. He plays a certain way, and at the moment, we don't feel like he has players in the right positions in key areas.
But they show flashes of it. It's odd.
Sure, but I think a great example of this, Marcus, is in the second half, they get a chance just after going behind, and it's a third man run by a midfield player, and it's N'Golo Kanté. And the ball comes to him. He's got no chance of scoring. He's just, I mean, the kid has scored 13 league goals in his whole career. You know, the ideal player you want in that position is not N'Golo Kanté. And that to me is indicative of the problem they find themselves in. And what's going to happen, I predict, is they are either going to rally behind him and everyone's going to have to buy into this philosophy and be patient, which I think seems a bit unlikely, or he's going to go. Yeah. It's very, very difficult to see any other outcome.
But Chelsea don't sack managers.
No, true, actually, yeah.
Well, he said earlier in the season, didn't he, that he feels like Conte could score more goals, which seems like such an odd interpretation of the type of player that Conte is. But I feel like with this motivation thing, because he's mentioned it a few times of late, Chelsea are a club that expect to be going for titles. They certainly have players there that would expect to be going for titles. And especially with a new manager coming in, some new signings and talk of, you know, a new style, they geared up to this season to anticipate a title challenge. To a degree, you know, you expect a bit of patience, but still, that's what they were after.
They looked and like the third best side in England for a little.
They
bit.
Did, but very quickly it was clear that wasn't going to happen. So it's almost like players of this calibre, knowing they're not going to, you know, reach their expectations already. Perhaps they've just switched off. Perhaps they're not the sort of players that have the mentality to fight for not winning a title.
Yeah, I mean, when he says, if Eden Hazard wants to leave the club, then perhaps he should. Although, you know, I hope he stays. I mean. You know, if Manchester United, or whoever was in charge at the time, I can't remember now, took that approach with David De Gea, he might not still be there.
Yeah.
You know, this is an important player.
You
can fight for your players. I know that seems unlikely these days, and when a player's head's turned, especially in the modern era, it tends to go one way. I mean, Arnautovic will leave West Ham, for example. But Hazard's been there for a long time, and he is one of their best players, of course, if not the best player. And I don't know. You can sometimes change a player's mind. We've seen it a number of times.
Sometimes they just want to be wanted, or they want a more improved contract, or whatever. Yeah.
Well, he probably doesn't. Maybe he doesn't even know what he wants. He sort of sees Madrid and think, well, it is not perfect there. You know, actually, do you have a nice life? You live in, presumably a city you like living in. You're playing for a club which you know Hazard said, you know, I've been improved a lot as a player here, and blah blah blah. So for the manager to say publicly, and it does make a difference privately or publicly, to say, well, you know, if he wants to go, I mean, I hope he doesn't go, but you know,
I want you to want me.
Yeah.
I thought, are you doing a gym now?
Tell you what else is like fair, not remarkable, but sort of worth noting is if you think in 2016-17, where Chelsea under Conte won the league, right? The squad they've got now, I mean, it isn't. I mean, the jury's out about whether it's actually any worse.
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost Costa, but they've gained Higuain. They've lost Courtois, but they've gained.
Well, they just gained Higuain.
I understand, but I mean, he's still a top level striker, yeah. And he might take a while to bed, and I get all that. But overall, I mean, they lost Courtois. They've got Arrizabalaga, who's a good goalkeeper. They've lost one or two defenders, lost one or two midfielders, but
I mean,
brought others in.
It's not a far cry, different.
Yeah, and yet they seem, for some reason, under Sarri and the system that he wants them to play at the moment, they just seem absolutely miles off. And I wonder if you know there's a bit more to it than what we're seeing at the moment. I wonder, because sometimes you'll hear an ex-pro pundit who's played at the very top level, and they'll say something like, "Well, the players just aren't having him," and they can tell. And I wonder if the players are having this, whether they're buying into it, because it's such a distinctive and specific way of playing. I feel like, from the outside looking in, if you don't buy into it, there's not really any hope for you.
Yeah, for me, the way the season started, they were getting results. I think the players were keen. And Sarri, you don't hear Sarri having a huge ego. He seems all right, doesn't he?
Well, that's what's quite confusing about it, isn't it? He doesn't seem the type that would have this kind of friction in a dressing room.
Yeah.
Clearly it's there.
Because we saw the big recent example being Mourinho. You know, people say, right, no, sod off, we're not having this anymore. And there's a huge drop-off. There's not been a massive drop-off, but there's been a slippery slope. And they're not as good as what they... Or the results aren't as good as what they were getting, quite clearly.
And
I think the players are kind of going, you know, we've tried, we're a bit confused, it just doesn't seem to be happening.
And I do think it depends on how the players implement what he's saying as well, though. Because for all the thing, because Conte's willing, right? He's a hard-working player. He's not a moment's trouble, people will tell you. Mm-hmm. And for him to get in that position and not score, it's not really his fault. It's just not his skill set. But if you look at someone like David Luiz, I mean, David Luiz for their second goal, he was basically, I'll tell you what he was, Marcus, but I'll tell you what he was doing. He's playing like a defender in a three and not a two.
Well, yeah.
Because you have a man over, he's used to having the ball at his feet. He's used to sort of going on these little runs and sweeping up here and liberoing there. And there's no cover because they're playing with the back two. Yeah. And he just gets caught out and he doesn't know what he's doing. He starts appealing for offside. And really, that's the goal that kills the game. That sends them 2-0 down. They struggle in after that. And what happens then happens. It's a fascinating club, Chelsea. They're almost like an ultra-modern club where nothing seems to stick around for too long. It changes so quickly. You can't take your eyes off it.
Yeah, but a word for Bournemouth, though.
Fantastic, yeah.
Absolutely superb. Yeah,
and David Brooks, again, so impressive.
Oh, Brooksy. And King as well, you know, lapping up the goals. Yeah, that was exactly. A lovely finish when he top cornered it. When it was just
the key fantastic.
To what I love about that as well is in the 94th minute or whatever it was, they're still busting the gut to get a fourth because they're just enjoying themselves.
They're having
so
a great
much.
Season.
And you think, look at Chelsea. I mean, when they went on that amazing run and they lost that first game, and we were like, oh, it's a bit surprising. I think it was Wolves they lost to. The second game they lost, because they lost to Spurs and they lost to Wolves.
Yep.
And the Spurs game, you sort of write off and go, okay, well, Spurs are a good team. Wolves was a more surprising result. But a lot of the Chelsea fans that got in touch, certainly with me, were like, well, we've had this coming. And if you look more recently, Pete and I were at Stamford Bridge. They edged past Newcastle. There was something there for Newcastle there. There was obviously something there for Bournemouth because they scored four goals. Arsenal beat them fairly easily. They feel like a team who are quite brittle. And yeah, another example would be they drew 0-0 at home with Southampton. Never really looked like doing anything.
The thing with them as well is you feel that if they go a goal down, they're not going to fight that hard to get back into it.
But Bournemouth deserve all the credit, though. They certainly do.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And but Chelsea are 4-6, sorry, Marcus, to finish in the top four this season. So they're still quite fancied. But Bet365 make them 4-6. £10 return, £16.67, including stake.
But I mean, you know, a home game against Huddersfield is just a ticket.
Oh, it's just a tonic.
I mean, I know they've
that's a long, tall drink of water, that.
I know they got Jan the Man in, you know, for Huddersfield. But I mean, 12 points from safety. It's looking bad. And with other sides, Fulham as well. Great result against Brighton, picking up points, although Fulham still got a lot of work to do, but it is looking bleak.
Huddersfield look not just so far away from a win, just so far away from a goal.
Yeah, I mean, Pickford made a couple of good saves, but ultimately they didn't score. So, you'd expect Chelsea to certainly win that one there. Leicester City host Manchester United. Of course, Leicester drew 1-1 at Anfield, playing well against one of the big sides again.
They love it.
They do.
They were another team that won at Stamford Bridge, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Claude Puel very satisfied with the performance, as he should have done. Could have been all three. But this is an intriguing one. Manchester United, they've flinched for the first time under Solskjaer. They were just about got a point.
As Luke pointed out on the WhatsApp group, though, that getting that late point is very Ferguson-esque.
It is.
Oh, yeah. We're probably throwing this at everything that happens. But...
No, but it is a fair...
There was an interesting article, I forget who wrote it, earlier in the week saying that Solskjaer is essentially just blueprinting Ferguson as much as possible to the point of what he wears, how he conducts himself. He's had him down the training ground.
Scottish accent.
Yeah, he's done that.
Imagine
well.
If he started doing a Scottish accent. Yeah.
He's actually gone
so
back
good.
And opened a pub in St Johnston.
Was it St Mirren? I forget.
St Mirren, yes.
Horses.
I mean, to be fair, though, that accent is such a mixture that there might be a little bit of Scottish
in there. I think there is a bit of Scottish
in there. The preparation he did before the Burnley game is he got Cesc Fabregas to throw pizza in his face. He's method. He's Marlon Brando in Ferguson.
Wound up Jonjo Shelvey.
It is interesting because you're right. When Manchester United, they should have been a goal. Rashford missed a good chance. Shame because he's been in good form recently. But they go 2-0 down, but they manage to claw it back right at the end, much to the ire of Sean Dyche. Mm. But what's the chat from Solskjaer after the end? Oh, it was a fantastic comeback. Yeah. It was a fantastic...
It's all positive, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, they've dropped 2 points at home against Burnley. That's
they
the thing.
Have.
But these things
can
happen.
They have salvaged a point from what would look like a pretty bad situation. And
exactly.
Also, Pogba on the score sheet again. I know it's a penalty, but he's now got his best return of goals for a season.
The vast majority coming
since Mourinho.
Since Solskjaer took over. One for your fantasy football team.
The key thing for this is, I know that he's won every game up until this point, and maybe there'll be a little bit of disappointment for not getting a win there. But the key point to the manner of that result is it doesn't stop the momentum one bit.
No, it doesn't.
The momentum carries on because it feels like a win. They're on a positive note. They're going to go into the game very confident. And that's, in many ways, the most important thing for them at the moment.
Sean Dyche was angry about the penalty, even though he said, oh, that's just modern football for you.
Oh, what a dig.
But he wasn't happy.
And with the Leicester side of the fence here, you talked about how they could have had all three at Liverpool. It's fair to say they could have had none as well.
Yeah, no, I did say, you know, it went either way, but I mean, they could have had all three. You know, they had a few chances, didn't they?
But Liverpool absolutely should have had a penalty, though.
I agree. On Keita.
On Keita,
I agree with that. Yeah, I think that's right. Well, Leicester are 13-5 to be the first team to inflict Premier League defeat on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Man United. £10 with Bet365 returns £36, including stake. I actually think this will be a pretty engrossing game.
I think it will be.
Because Leicester do seem to do all right against the big teams.
Both teams like to counter-attack a little bit, certainly Manchester United do. Mm. I could see Vardy.
I was surprised to hear, I mean, I'm to the point of where I might have misheard it, so feel free to tweet in if I've got this wrong. On watching the game last night, Leicester against Liverpool at Anfield, I'm sure the commentator said that Shinzo Okazaki hasn't scored a goal for about...
It's a long time,
a
I
year
think.
Yeah, I heard December 2017.
I heard something recently that was similar. And I haven't heard his name on a score sheet since. Yeah,
yeah.
He's been a bit part player, though, isn't he, really?
He's so important for them in that season. They won the league, though.
He is. Although, better Japanese related news is they're in the final against Qatar of the Asia Cup.
Who's the other team in the final? The Little Atom.
Qatar.
They dared to dream.
Yeah,
they
merit.
Dared in some way. That we won't delve into.
Well, we could delve into it a little bit. Wasn't there a couple of the players shouldn't have been playing or something?
there's been talk of an investigation.
Yeah. Yes.
There's talk that UAE has submitted a formal protest over the eligibility of a couple of Qatari players.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Well, Luke.
I imagine Qatar will be hoping it won't be reviewed before the final.
What is our best bet? We're Bet365, old sport.
Our best bet comes courtesy of John Williams. Not that one, I imagine.
Wow. Jay Will.
Orchestrating a win, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed. He says, "Ooh la la, what a bad week for bettors. Mugged off by Man City, let down by Liverpool, and cheesed off by Chelsea. Burned by Burnley, it was a damn bloodbath." Even my brilliant Donaldson special, brackets Atsu to score on Newcastle to win at 39-1.
Atsu to score?
flew impotently into the keeper's waiting arms. Well, lads, in these trying times, we must be led from the darkness by an individual, a great man, if you will. And for this reason, my best bet is Manchester United to win and Paul Pogba to score, currently at 4-1. If you think this man will drop points at Old Trafford and then not come out swinging, you do not know Paul Pogba. Plus, he takes penalties, so that can't hurt. Keep up the good work. Best, John Williams. So,
like that.
Man United to win and Paul Pogba to score is indeed 4-1 using Bet365's Bet Builder feature. £50 will return £250, including stake, should it come to pass. A reminder that you must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, go to begambleaware.org. And another reminder, final bit of admin, that all proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK. Our best bet with Bet365, Man United to win and Paul Pogba to score at 4-1.
I like that. I do like that, but I like this even more. It's time for Going for Glow.
So, here's on
the show.
The time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all
oh, Peter, that's my favourite bit.
Sorry, mate. George Bourras has got in touch. Thank you, George, for this nomination.
What's his name?
George Bourras.
Bourras.
Bourras. Mm. Going for gold. I was born on the 4th of August, 1977.
Stop.
So.
Raoul.
Incorrect. You always go for Raoul.
Yeah, might as well. It's going to be him someday.
Jason Ewell.
No.
Jim, you respect the competition because I said stop before you there.
Jim.
I don't know if you
Jim.
Did.
Right. You have to set out a clue for that.
That's not the rule.
I'm the referee. No.
Okay.
Marcus.
All right.
Vicente Lizarazu.
No.
Nice to hear his name.
Worth
though.
It.
Yeah. I was going to say Worth Jason Ewell.
Think of any other footballer. Two, I scored 2 goals in 91 appearances for West Ham United. Quite a few clues, so I'll bash through them.
Mm.
I earned 28 caps for my country and went to the 2006 World Cup.
Stop. Florin Radichoyu.
2006 World Cup.
Incorrect.
Yeah, he'd be way too early for that.
My parents are from Sao Tome and I think it's Principe, isn't it? You pronounce that?
Yeah,
Principe? Sao Tome and Principe.
Though I was born in Europe and represented my nation of my birth.
Stop. Rufus Brevet.
Incorrect.
Stop. Luis Boamorte.
Oh, mate!
Oh, he's got it. Look at that.
Jim Campbell wins.
Too easy. Jim. Too easy for Jimmy.
George Bourras, hang your head.
Yeah.
Lord.
That was,
he's now the assistant manager of Maccabi Haifa.
Really?
Okay.
Jim was like Big Sam on Chico Flores there, head back laughing, going, is that all you've got for me? Is that it?
Jim's very good at
this. Oh, he's not a ball taste.
He's not that good. I'm just in your heads.
He's number one seed. He's absolutely number one seed. Like, I think the problem is, I think we've got here with this game is that I think listeners think I need to make this hard because Jim's so good.
Yeah.
The problem is, Marcus and Luke, we ain't that good. It just plays the Jim's hand.
What they should do is do a really easy one so it's a bit of a fight.
And we go bang straight
away.
Exactly. The best ones, like the Peter Schmeichel one, are the ones that they throw you a little bit of a curveball. Yeah. Not I want to encourage that.
I want to play the other game. Play the other game that Luke did because I was actually quite
great
at that
and I'm terrible at it.
You should be, you guys should be outside Jim's house at like 5 o'clock in the morning bashing pots and pans.
We were.
To try and slow his brain down.
Yeah, but Jim was so drunk that he couldn't hear us. He passed out.
Oh, that was you.
Do you want to do a quick one of those? I can give you a little auction game.
Oh, you've got a bonus one just hanging around.
Right.
Yeah, I'll do one now. It's easy.
Right. Oh, I love that.
I suppose it is, isn't it? So, the heat is on and the time
is right. It's time for you, what you to play Luke's game. People are coming, everyone's trying to be here the best that they can.
All right, so
Pete's involved in this as well.
How does this work? The three way.
You just all guess.
Cool.
You just all bid.
All right.
Okay. So I've got two players for you.
Right.
You can choose which one you want to do. Okay. Uh-huh. You can have Tony Yeboah.
Okay.
Or you can have Carlton Palmer.
Oh God.
Oh, they're both.
I've just decided it's going to be Carlton Palmer.
All right.
Okay. So Carlton Palmer, by my reckon, I mean, I'm doing this off the dome piece. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. He's played for 12 clubs.
Oh, bloody hell.
So, Jim.
I thought you were going to say like three.
I hope you guys will agree because Pete didn't get an opportunity for going for gold. He can choose first bid.
Yeah, go on, Pete.
So, Pete,
is he cheating?
Hey, Siri, what's the name of the
No! Close your laptop like Jim has. Right, how many clubs are you bidding out of 12?
Literally one. I can't think of another one.
Okay. That's an opening.
Palmer.
That's an opening one. Jim, can you beat one?
I can certainly beat one. I think I could go three.
Marcus?
I'd like to call Jim on the three.
Three? Oh, out of 12? Yes. Carl Palmer.
I am so, so sorry.
I can't remember where he went.
19-year career he's had.
Yeah. I can only remember like...
He's moved around a lot.
True. So, Jim.
Shall I have a crack?
Yeah, you need to name three. And if you can't do this, we should stop the whole podcast.
There's a lot riding on this. So, I'm going to go for Wimbledon.
Hang on. Wimbledon.
Did he not?
Incorrect.
No.
The other we're going to, the other two.
No, don't say it because it's open to Marcus and Pete. So Pete's now the next best on one.
God no.
Marcus, can you name more than one?
I'll have a go with two.
Okay.
This is law.
One, he obviously
this
knows.
This is law.
How exciting!
Do the one. All right, Sheffield Wednesday.
Correct.
Oh God, of course.
That was that, and now I'm really
Marcus Spiller.
No, I haven't. I've got to name the second one.
Oh right.
I think he might have popped up at Nottingham Forest.
Marcus Bowles.
Mine were going to be Leeds and Forest. He played for Leeds, didn't he?
He did.
Oh,
yeah.
Leeds, he did.
Lord. He played for West Brom, Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds United, Southampton, Nottingham Forest, Coventry City, Watford, Stockport County, Dublin City, Mansfield Town, and the excellently named Staveley Miners Welfare. So that was 11, not 12.
Because
he actually played at Sheffield Wednesday twice. Wimbledon was not in there, Jim, although he did manage Stockport County and Mansfield Town, if that helps you out or not.
I feel like his style was so suited to Wimbledon. That's probably confused me. Because his special move was basically a massive clearance, wasn't it?
18 England caps.
18 England caps.
In that golden era.
I told you I told you Jim never gets the better of me.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, I've squirmed through there. But squirm through nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview, sponsored by Bet365. It's been an absolute pleasure. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, PED.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy C.
See ya.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.